What skills should you prioritize when selecting candidates is the 10th essential element out of the 12. So when selecting the most appropriate candidates from the pool, organizations can use a variety of approaches. Those that target skills or competencies could include hiring brains or intelligence, selecting based primarily on personality. So, if some specific things are required, so you can use this particular approach. So people with a higher cognitive ability. Now, how do we basically decide this? So there are various psychometric, psychological, aptitude related tests where you can get a definitive score before a hiring is done. Selecting based primarily on personality can also include personality tests. So again, these are psychometric or personality influence tests which can be administered to the aspirants. Selecting based on technical skills required for this job. So let's suppose it's inducting professionals who possess existing technical skills like welders, like masons, like the blue collared workers who work on the scaffoldings. So these technically skilled or adept blue collared workers can be tested. Another class of technical skills would be coding practices, testing practices. So they can be worked on simulations, they can be given coding problems, testing simulations and so on. Selecting based on people skills required for this and the next level job. So here, leadership related skills are required primarily. So these people can be administered simulations of how they can control conflict, how they can involve more people, how can they raise the bar for employee morale. Are they, aware of leadership models and practices and so on. Selecting primarily based on pre-identified company-wide competency needs, present and future. So if there is a list of competencies, skills, so does the resume match these pre-identified needs? So this can also be a selection criteria. For example, let's say 40 people need to be inducted, 40 employees. So this would be a better criteria than any of the other ones, so that it becomes a faster and a more efficient process. The 11th essential element is how to assess candidates. So an essential part of any recruitment strategy is the process that you will utilize to assess the candidates. Now, common choices for an analysis or an assessment, or you could also call it as an evaluation, would be these specific aspects. One would be in the form of interviews. As I had mentioned, we will be looking into more details. Personality tests, again, we are just enlisting them here. There are details that will follow. Skill related tests or skill tests. References. So, you can gather references from their profession, their personal lives, or even, if they have a sabbatical, you can check with their professors. Grades or, academic performance. So which can be culled out or derived from the applications or the resumes that they present. Job related simulations, which I had mentioned, and on the job assessment. So you can give them some job. And of course, this can also be an internal recruitment factor. The last essential element is the primary sales approach. So candidates can be sold on a job and company based on a variety of strategies. Now this is where the recruitment professionals double up as sales professionals. Now as you understand, in today's world, there is no dearth of jobs. It's definitely not a monopoly, correct? So there isn't one Reliance organization or a Tata which offers jobs to people. There are a multitude of organizations, large, medium, and small, which offer jobs to people. So in this context, a job person, a person who's offering a job, has to sell his or her organization to the aspirant. Now, these are certain factors where they can do a good job, a strategic job. These may include compensation. So compensation is the sort of remuneration that a person gets for the work that they do. It may be monetary or non-monetary. It may be fixed or variable. Certain important opportunities for promotion. So is there a progression in the job that they are getting into? So today, if I were to get into a job as a general manager, is there a progression to a senior general manager or a vice president or so on, is what I might want to be interested if I want to join a job. The benefits, so apart from these aspects, are there other tangible and intangible benefits like the perks? Are they going to offer me accommodation? Is there a car for commuting? Are there certain other benefits for the family? The next is a great team, the presence of a great team and a great manager. So the job that a person or an aspirant joins, would they have, you know, the company of a great team to work with? Would they have a manager who would take care of their progressional needs, their improvement related needs? Now, a very popular saying in the corporates is, people don't leave their organization, they leave their manager. So is the manager somebody who's caring, somebody who is engaging, or are they somebody who's intimidating? So if you want to market the job, you will have to cite the qualities, the positive aspects about the team and the manager as well. Apart from which, an excellent culture and values. So everybody would love to be associated with an organization which grows organically, is constantly in touch with its roots and values, and is constantly forging for future progression through the process of its continuously evolving mission and vision. Of course, bonus and stock option opportunities. So bonus, as we all know, so it may be like a Diwali bonus, or it may be a bonus or an incentive for a job done well. Many organizations also give stock options. So they may give their own company, if it's listed, their own stock options, or stock options of a reputed organization where people can exercise their option. So if you know about options, you might see this as a lucrative opportunity to join the organization. Now we will transcend, we will progress to the next aspect of this chapter, which is the vital characteristics of the recruitment team. Now, when we talk about strategy, students, it's also important to understand what qualities or attributes a team possesses. Now, this is not any team, it is the team that runs the hiring process in organizations. So the team should itself comprise of people who are effective and efficient. In this context, the term team dynamics goes a long way. So the team, dynamics refers to ongoing interactions between team members and how it affects the team. So as we get to know, if any organization, the team plays a major role. Whether it's a startup where there is a very small team of individuals, to a big unicorn or a business, having a presence in multiple countries. So these dynamics, both positive and negative, will ultimately affect the performance of the team. And this team is running one of the most value-added human resource processes, the process of recruitment and selection. So to understand dynamics, first you must have an understanding of each individual's skills, goals, interest, stage of life, and importantly, personality. Now here we are talking about the recruitment team. Like when I was a part of a reputed organization, we usually had a lot of psychometrics done. So we were trained on psychometrics like Thomas profiling, the DISC certification, and various other tools. Now, these tools give you details about the peers and the bosses or the juniors that you work with, and how can you liaise with them properly on interdependent projects. As you know, recruitment process is, of course, something that is interdependent. In medium to large scale organizations, generally, there is a lot of interdependence between the sub processes of recruitment. Hence, it is important and essential to know about the vital characteristics. Now, as a part of this process, what we need to analyze is the skills of the team members, the members who are on the recruitment team. So every job has a specific set of required skills. A case in point or a simple example is, some people are more proficient in the process of phone screening. Some people are able to raise red flags by analysis in the resume screening. Some people take pride in administering tests to the candidates and interpreting the results in a very proficient manner. Some people are good in negotiating salaries and saving money for the organization. And some people subsequently are good at, prima facie observations and instinctual recruitments. So every job has a specific set of required skills. Suitable candidates must possess these skills. Recruiters also need to possess skills in order to effectively recruit. So recruiters, thereby, as I had stated earlier, they have to possess analysis, the power to record, and they need to understand what strengths and weaknesses exist within their own team. So this will often identify, so this will help in identifying a skill that is lacking in a certain area, which you can then seek within an applicant. So this is also very important. So if they are in close contact with a team which requires candidates, they can also facilitate this by the process of analysis. Now, goals. So an individual's goals can be associated with and measured by career advancement, financial attainment, recognition, reward, and or self-satisfaction. So apart from understanding their own team members' needs, they also need to transcend boundaries and understand the needs of the team that they would recruit for. So this will give them an extra edge or capability. The specific goal can affect how an individual behaves and therefore affect the team. So let's take an example. Let's say that ABC Corporation has a competent set of recruiters and they want to recruit for a new position, which is something very important. It is a position for, SCM endeavors and key account management. So, a person with unique skills needs to head this department, which was not there before. So they will also have to consult with the team, take into consideration all these points, and then see if an internal or an external recruitment would be the best fit. So this should be in cognizance, in tight alliance with the goals of that team for whom they are recruiting. Interests. So interests also need to be understood properly. Similar interests within a team can help with team bonding, communication, and team efficiency. So the recruitment folks should be interdependent upon each other, function like a well-oiled machine, have collaboration, and they should also identify with these aspects in the teams that they are recruiting for. The next aspect is personality. So in terms of personality, it is obvious that certain individuals will get on better than others. Now, when you are in the process of recruitment for a long period of time, you realize through the answers, through the statements, through the fine print, which people will gel in what team. So in a close working team, it is important to find a balance between introverts and extroverts. So introverts are basically those people who keep to themselves, and extroverts are the people who love more of interactions with others, who are loud, who are more of, who can speak their minds in the public. Then leaders and followers, as we know. So some people like to take initiative, lead, and some people would rather take a backstage and follow the instructions. Egocentric and altruistic. So egocentric are those people who have more of a self-orientation, who have higher levels of ego, who are more self-centered. Altruistic are those who are helping others, who possess the quality of selflessness. They will, you know, motivate others and keep, you know, their own requirements at the back. And of course, people focused and task focused. So some people, they rather focus on managing people, understanding people in a better way. They do away with some of the standards, they are flexible. And some people give more prominence to the processes, the SOPs, the SLAs, and there is lesser focus towards people. In the team dynamics part, we also look at testing and analysis. So, you know, recruitment people have to be proficient. They have to have knowledge either through experience or certification where they can test and analyze the aspirants. So psychological testing can be extremely beneficial in identifying suitable individuals. Now, when they get certified, they also are able to understand their own psychological constitution and personality. So there are various tests which are available, okay, which you can understand about your own self, where you can also determine the psychological balance, the constitutional abilities of the people whom you're administering this test to. Now, psychological testing is the administration of these type of tests. As I had mentioned, I had given you examples. So while working for Cummins, I was certified as a CPBA, that is a psychometric test, all right, which is the DISC certification, where you understand psychological constitution. There are various other tests which can be administered, you can get certified on. So psychological tests are administered by trained evaluators. That's the reason why I gave you my own example. I've also done a certification, in assessment centers and, learning development centers. So you need to have a certification done, and then you will get opportunities with your organization if you work as a consultant with others, so as to understand the psychological makeup of the people whom you are recruiting. So a person's responses are evaluated according to carefully prescribed guidelines. So these psychometric or psychological tests, they are based on sound logic, they are based on frameworks which act as guidelines or prescribed guidelines. The importance of team dynamics should, of course, as we have seen in the slides that were discussed previously, it should never be underestimated. This is because the benefits of getting the team fit right will ensure the best chance of individual performance, development and job satisfaction, employee retention, and thereupon team and business success. I think we have discussed this multiple times in the different chapters in our previous discussions. Let's now look at the different recruitment models. This is, of course, an enlisting done here. We will take up each of these particular models individually and discuss them as a part of our subsequent slides. So we first begin with a hiring type, which is known as contingency. As the name says, it's for emergency or it's for undefined situations, unprecedented. Retained search, something which needs to be done on a retained basis, on a continuous basis. Exclusive requirements. So over here, these are some requirements which are niche requirements. Like example, I had provided about a CORBA RMS requirement in a previous organization. Recruitment process outsourcing, where a certain part is outsourced to another agency or unit which is tightly aligned with your organization. Outplacement, interesting term. So in times of recession, in times of depression, the organization will pay for you to be placed to another organization so that, you know, you are able to retain employment, although not with the same organization, with somebody else. And of course, executive search. So executive here stands for the C-level or the top-notch employees like the CEO, the CFO, the COO, the CTO, and so on. So those people who are at a directorial level or those who are at the top cadre of the management. So each of these has their own specialities, their own functions, which we shall subsequently discuss in detail from here. So the first one is contingency or contingency hiring. So this happens whenever an organization, they require, okay, many consultants at the same time and ask all of them. Now, contingency is some sort of an emergency situation, an unprecedented situation. Like, for example, your organization suddenly gets a project from BMW. You are an OEM manufacturer and BMW tells us, okay, we want this OEM part to be developed as a prototype and eventually, you know, we want it in large numbers. Now, you currently have some expertise, but you don't have the manpower. What do? You create a requisition. Your talent search immediately gets in touch because you don't have those many internal resources. This requirement needs you to look outward. So you get in touch with 4 or 5 different consultancies who specialize in providing such profiles. And on an emergency basis, on an unprecedented basis, the recruitment starts. The hiring process, of course, then is done on a project by project. So I was referring to a project which was given by BMW. So BMW needs 300 employees ranging from the blue collar to skilled labor to supervisors to managers. So those have to be inducted, and this is done on a project by project basis. Wherein the recruiter works to find as many available qualified candidates as possible in as short a period as possible. Correct? So let's say I'm a senior manager with ABC recruitment professionals. So I am quickly brought up to the table if I'm already not with them. I'm empaneled and I am supposed to give my share of candidates along with a few other external partners that they may have or vendors that they may have. I'm sure with the help of the simple example, you have gained a good insight on this process. The next is that of a retained search. So here a recruiter works exclusively for a specific requirement and the payment is divided into 2 parts. So they are paid a fixed amount by the company for search activity, known as retainer fee. For recruitment of senior executives like CEOs, sales heads, very focused approach is required. So this method is so. There are many companies who constantly need. So this is pretty similar to executive search. So they constantly need people at the top. Okay. So they are brought on board by the organization and they are given a fee. Now their purpose is called as a headhunting purpose. So they continuously churn out profiles even if an evident requirement is not seen. Hence, it's a proactive recruiting method. It is a partnership between the client and the recruiter, shortlisting the best and most qualified of the candidates. The next is exclusive requirements, like I gave you the example of the Corba RMS. So sometimes there are very few positions which need to be closed. Like let's suppose I gave you an example of the strategic account manager. If this cannot be closed, then there would be a problem or repercussions for the organization. So this needs to be closed as soon as possible with the specifics. So the recruiter, an external party, okay, needs to close the position with lesser commission or bear some penalty. So these are certain clauses, interesting. So there might be a debit done as well in the form of a financial penalty if they're not able to complete, because these positions are of a high consequence to the organization. The next is a recruitment process outsourcing or an RPO model, which has gained immense popularity in the last decade or so and is still functioning. Now here what happens? The HR department, they focus on the remuneration or the compensation. Okay, they focus on continuously improving their engagement practices, and recruitment as a function, as you know, as the name goes, is outsourced. A majority of the operational functionalities of recruitment are outsourced and given out to responsible partners, and these partners, they take ownership of the recruitment activities like sourcing, screening, scheduling, administering of interviews, offers to join, and even I have in my career seen training as a part of bringing people up to speed and inductions done by these RPOs or recruitment process partners. These work very well for organizations which follow a lean structure as well. Many of the IT services domains also have this kind of a function. The next is that of outplacement, which I had already mentioned. Let me elaborate it for you. So here, this comes during the downturns in the economy, periods of recession or depression. Okay, when there's a layoff, like if you heard the news, Amazon is in the process of laying off many, employees across the world. Twitter, which has been taken over by Elon Musk, has had a lot of, they fired or laid off a lot. So in some organizations who have a very high reputation and they have to lay off people, they put those people with the help of consultants, they place them in other organizations where the cost is borne by this current employer who's laying off the employees. Now this particular outplacement provides a focus for employees who are in a state of shock. Just imagine you're working for an organization for the last 14 years and suddenly you get to know that your name is in the list of employees being laid off. What would you do? You have not, looked outside ever. This is the only occupation. You're good at it. You've become an expert. And suddenly there is a letter stating you have to, there is no longer a service in this organization. So many of the considerate legacy organizations, they have a way where they give you a certain lifeline. Similar industries or organizations, you would be placed so that you would lose your job here, but you would be employed someplace else. So this is outplacement, becoming pretty rare nowadays. The next one is pretty similar to retained search, which we've seen, which is executive search, where again these focus only on senior level employees like CEOs, CFOs, CTOs, sales heads, and similar kinds. Okay, so their method of sourcing for such positions are very different from junior level requirements. Of course, as you can see, there is a sea of difference, or there is a hierarchical difference between these positions. Your number of potential candidates are very few and far in between. Of course, how many CFOs would be there in a certain, a set of industries as against the blue-collared workers or the supervisors or the managers? Very few, right? So here the number of candidates are less and they don't prefer to show their resumes on the portals. Come on, who would in their right mind, if you are, one of the directors of an organization, would you really put your resume on LinkedIn or someplace else? No. So these are the passive, you may say, resumes or passive candidates. So a very focused headhunting approach. So these are the heads of influential people. These are like trophies. That's why it's known as a headhunting. Okay. So you do it through networking. You do it through, people whom you know. You do it through recommendations. You really spend a lot of time in their own personal zones to make them or market the job to them, make it more lucrative, telling them that, okay, there is a lot of benefit that will accrue out of a calculated risk if you choose to relinquish your current job and you would like to take up, leadership, a challenging role, a leader's role in this organization which the headhunter represents. Other than the above model, so we had a figure initially, a diagram where we had enlisted those important models. There are a few other, types in which recruitment can be done. One is the permanent recruitment. So here, after the candidate, after recruitment, the candidate stays in the company payroll as a permanent employee. Okay, conventional form or contract or temporary staffing. So in this case, the candidate remains in the payroll of the consultant and works with the company. So I have also conducted training to give you an insight with some manpower staffing companies like Leavitt, Harrison, Adecco, Manpower, where they actually have employees on their payroll, but they work at the client sites. So this is contract or temporary staffing. Now let us discuss the topic of developing metrics for recruitment success. As you're aware, we are in a chapter where we are discussing strategy. Now, as recruitment professionals, we cannot just have a loose bound approach or an intuitive approach. We also need to look at certain parameters or factors which lead to overarching success in the recruitment process. Now here, we see the image of a diligently working recruitment professional, and we've also enlisted the several recruitment factors, and in the subsequent slides, we will, in a detailed fashion, look at each one of them. So getting the best ROI or return of investment for the activities adds additional value to the already valuable process of recruitment. Now, how is this done? We can enlist and we can explain, we can understand the several important factors, few of them being cost per hire or CPH, the time to fill a vacant position, vacancy rates, the turnover rates, the selection ratios, some very interesting topics or titles or parameters, quality of hire and retention rates. Now, as you can see, there is a common thread that runs around them that is related to the overall hiring processes. Thank you.